Tim Phillips is president of Americans for Prosperity, a conservative group founded by the billionaire Koch brothers. In recent weeks, the Koch brothers have become the latest target of President Trump. Trump has called them, quote, totally overrated and a, quote, total joke in real Republican circles. But according to Phillips, the group isn't about party loyalty as much as it is about the issues.
So I, for 20 years, worked in political campaigns at every level. I loved it. But frankly, I was frustrated. You know, a lot of Republicans at campaign time, I know this is shocking, Amy, but they would say one thing, you know, occasionally about spending and fiscal conservatism, and then they would get in there and they wouldn't do it. And so I was excited about being a part of an organization that was not an appendage of any party and that was focused on issues like economic freedom and helping people improve their lives. So we launched Americans for Prosperity in 2004. There was an organization called Citizens for a Sound Economy, which you probably remember from way back when before that. So this was kind of, you know, a follow-up to that organization.
So did the Koch brothers find you or you found them? How did this work?
I met them. I met them at a couple of events. I met some of the staff that worked with them. And then eventually I met Charles and David and found them to be two of the most principled people I've ever met in my life.
So what happened in 2004? Gosh, we have to go in the Wayback Time Machine. This was during the 2004 election, or this is post-election 2004?
Well, that's the funny part. People always assume this is some kind of, you know, Republican cabal or something. But in fact, when the organization was launched, Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and spending was completely out of control. Earmarks were exploding. That became kind of a corruption issue. And so while the Bush administration and the Republicans did some good things, the tax cuts of 2001-03 were good, no question about that. I think the Roberts nomination was good to the Supreme Court. They were doing a lot of bad things. So I know when Americans for Prosperity launched, our first issue effort at the federal level was earmarks. We were called kind of a scrappy upstart back then. Imagine that, being called that today. But we were doing events around the country decrying these earmarks. And we did a 50-stop ending earmarks tour. And about 27 of those districts were Republican-held districts because they had the majority. And that was about the right breakdown. So it was a very different background then to what I think some folks on the left or others want to believe today.
Americans for Prosperity became a powerhouse in the years after 2004. They helped to launch the Tea Party into the mainstream. In 2016, they spent $13 million on attack ads against Democrats. None of the money was spent on positive ads for Republicans. Do you think that in creating and spending this amount of money and energy, you have helped to sort of foster the divisiveness that's going on right now?
Well, it is worth noting that we have spent millions and millions of dollars over the years holding Republicans accountable, you know, genuinely calling them to account for bad votes, things they've done at the state and federal level. We have called on both parties to genuinely have a more civil manner and tone because that is important. You want to have leaders who unite the country. And there are times, and by the way, everyone has some blame here, including us.
Yeah, I mean, you guys spent a lot of money on attack ads.
There have been times when our rhetoric has not been what we want it to be. And so we're saying on the civility front, the blame goes all around.
I've read somewhere, tell me if this is true or not,
okay,
that you all have somewhere in the range of $400 million budgeted for this election.
No.
Tell me what.
That's often misunderstood. Okay. What we've said is that in the broad policy and politics arena, at the local, state, and federal level, our network is spending $375 to, you know, roughly almost $400 million. That's in 2017 and 18 combined.
Okay. And you,
but having said that, it is that we do have a significant, you know, politics and policy effort for this year at the federal level. It is significant.
I know you all spent a lot of time, effort, money on repealing Obamacare.
Yes.
You got a Republican House, Senate, White House. It looked like this was the opportunity.
Yeah.
And it failed. Are you going to hold Republicans account for that?
We have. We've
said,
we have said we have raised the bar for Republicans. And the number one promise they made in the 2010, 12, 14, and 16 federal election cycles, four election cycles, the number one promise they made was to repeal Obamacare. And it was a deep disappointment when they, instead of on the first day of the Congress in 2017, when they should have kept their word, which they had said on day one, we're going to repeal Obamacare. Instead, they passed a meaningless resolution. And then a couple of months later, they came up with what was clearly not a repeal. That is a significant failure of this Congress. The two most significant failures, in our view, of this Congress for the Republicans was one, failure to repeal Obamacare. They had promised that over and over. And then secondly, the failure to get federal spending under control.
What does success look like for AFP at the end of 2018? Is keeping Republicans in control of the House and Senate a priority?
Majorities matter. There's no question when you look at the Kavanaugh nomination and confirmation. There's no doubt that if the majority situation were reversed, Judge Kavanaugh would probably not be Justice Kavanaugh. So majorities matter. What we've said, though, and we just said this at our network gathering a couple of weeks ago, it's not enough. We know it's not enough to genuinely change the trajectory of this country. If we're ever going to deal with the spending problem, you know, we have debt over $22 trillion. We have a spending problem that is corrosive. If we're ever genuinely going to get to that, we have to do better as a network. We have to raise the bar.
So you've worked in politics as a campaign operative.
20 years is that.
Pre a lot of these groups' existence.
Right.
What has it done to our political system, the fact that we have lots of really, really wealthy people, whether it's the Kochs or whether it's Tom Steyer on the left or Michael Bloomberg, spending money to influence the political system? And I wonder if that's not made the process even more difficult for regular people to feel like their voice is getting heard.
I actually think it's the opposite. I think it's a good thing for representative democracy. It gives more Americans a voice and a way to make a difference. You know, we need more involvement. Frankly, we need more free speech, not less free speech in this country today. That's a good thing.
I don't think that's a good thing at all, Amy. In fact, I'm strongly opposed to Citizens United.
That is Tom Steyer, a Democratic billionaire behind the group Next Gen America and Need to Impeach. Steyer is planning to spend something like $110 million this election cycle.
What we're trying to do is get much better turnout because we believe that when young people in underrepresented communities participate at the same level as everybody else, we get completely different answers. And we believe that it's really important that the House of Representatives flip from being controlled by Republicans to being controlled by Democrats.
And he needs the House to flip to fulfill his other mission.
The impeachment and removal of Mr. Trump as president.
Though there's big money involved, Steyer says this is a grassroots movement.
So when we think about impeachment, Amy, we ask ourselves two basic questions. Are we telling the truth, an important truth in America, which is we have the most corrupt president in American history? He is reckless and dangerous and lawless. Are we telling a truth that is very important for Americans to hear? And are we standing up for the Constitution and the American people? About 75% of Democrats want this president impeached and removed from office. Across the country, we're at Nixonian levels of dislike for this president and Nixonian levels of interest in his being impeached and removed. So this isn't a question of us convincing people. What we're really trying to do is let the events and the facts convince people and then enable the voices of Americans to come together to speak up and to push for what we believe to be an overwhelmingly obvious truth, which is that we have a corrupt president who doesn't believe in the democracy and doesn't believe in the Constitution and isn't putting the American people first, and that it's absolutely essential for all of us that he be removed from office.
The day after the election, what will you consider a success if what happens in that election?
Well, Amy, I think holding all the other important things constant, and I know that every election is specific. It has to do with the specific people running. It has to do with the specific interests in that district or city or state. But to a very large extent, in November of 2018, the election is going to be a referendum on this president.
If Vice President Pence were to be president, would things get better for the American people.
Look, I probably don't agree with Vice President Pence on any specific policy, and some of the things that he's stood up for in the past are things which I vehemently and morally disagree with. But getting rid of a reckless, dangerous, and lawless president is a gigantic step forward towards getting back to a just, prosperous, and equitable America. And the fact that we are replacing him with a conservative Republican from Indiana is the way the Constitution works. And it doesn't change the fact that getting rid of that president is a gigantic step forward for democracy and for the American people.
I just want to step back for a minute, more of an existential question. But I look at you and the money that you personally are investing, somebody who has a lot of money, is officially a billionaire, the Kochs, Michael Bloomberg, Sheldon Adelson, the money that all of you are investing in politics. And I wonder if you think this is a good thing to see a handful of really wealthy people setting a political agenda and being able to invest capital in something that most Americans cannot possibly match. All Americans can't possibly match.
So I don't think that's a good thing at all, Amy. In fact, I'm strongly opposed to Citizens United, which allows corporations to behave like people in the political setting. And what we've tried to do to be completely different from those other people is a number of things. First of all, we try to be completely transparent so that, for instance, I'm sitting here talking with you on the radio, describing exactly what we're doing and why we're doing. Second of all, I try and make sure that not only does nothing that I work for benefit me personally, but you can't even make an argument that it benefits me personally. And the third thing is what we've chosen to do is to try and work through grassroots to get us a broader and more fair and representative democracy by bringing people in to the voting booth who otherwise might not show up, particularly underrepresented communities, younger people, people whose voices and whose votes have not been counted adequately in our society. And the petition drive that we're doing on impeachment is not going to the halls, walking the halls of Congress. It is not going and, you know, trying to change Congress people and senators' minds. What we're trying to do is enable the voice of the American people to be heard, to push down the power back to the people where it belongs. And if you actually look at what I've done in politics, it's all been about grassroots, and a bunch of it has been about direct democracy in the states where that is permitted. So, for instance, this year, we started the year running three clean energy propositions across the country because we believe that the voice of the people should be heard on this, and it's being ignored because people are listening so much to the corporate moneyed interests. So yes, I have a huge problem with money in politics, and our response has been, given the rules as they are, to try and use our resources, but also our organization, our time, my efforts to push the power back to the people, to get as many people involved as possible, to get a broader and deeper democracy, and to make the voice of the people be the controlling thing in the United States of America that it should be.
That's Democratic billionaire Tom Steyer, who's behind the group Next Gen America and Need to Impeach.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.